When was the last time you looked closely at a bird? You stared into the beady eyes of a black cockatoo or admired the intricate plumes of an Australian budgerigar? The Sydney artist, Leela Jeffries, wants you to look at these creatures. She's a photographer who specialises in bird portraiture. She captures these birds in intimate moments of pride and amusement. A new exhibition of her work opens in Sydney next week before it tours to New York later in the year. Leela Jeffries, thank you so much for coming onto The Art Show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Leela, when you're looking at a bird and working with the bird to photograph it, what are you seeing?
I think I'm seeing them through the eyes of my childhood. I think what happens is that I observe them the way children observe animals. And, you know, children are really attentive, I think, to animals. And that is where it sort of starts. And from there, it's just this lovely observation of really paying incredible attention to them and seeing their movements, seeing what interests them, seeing the tilt of the head. You can read a lot from their body languages, so you get a very good sense of what's going on with them.
Where did you grow up?
So I had an interesting upbringing in a way, because I was born in Papua New Guinea. My mum's Indian and my dad was from the Isle of Man. And I have a brother, he was born in Australia, but I was sort of born in Papua New Guinea, grew up in Perth in Western Australia mostly, but we travelled a lot, and I was able to live in some sort of, you know, interesting places. I lived in a place called Nasrapur in India when I was about 10, and that was a real, I always talk about that as my Jungle Book year, you know, that was a real exposure to wildlife there.
Yeah. And so at what point did you start as a photographer to work with birds? Because you studied photography at college, right?
That's right. So I studied photography. I tried to photograph people and I was terrible at it. I failed miserably. I just hated it. Whenever I had to take a photo for somebody else, I always felt like my work wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
It was a real sort of struggle for me. So I kind of had a personal project idea to do portraiture of birds.
Yeah.
And that was that beautiful moment where all of a sudden everything felt right, because it wasn't for anybody else. I was doing it because I love these creatures. I could take my time. I could revisit the same bird over a year. I didn't have to turn anything around fast. And it really, to start with, wasn't for anybody to see. It was only for myself. It was just something that I loved doing.
What were those first birds that you took photographs of?
So it started actually with budgerigars. So
Oh, right.
It was 10 years ago. I was actually, the year before that, I was bird watching on Christmas Island, amazing, beautiful island that has this extraordinary bird life. And I was with my bird watching friends, and we were looking through the binoculars, and I was thinking, why is it that not everybody can see how extraordinary beautiful these birds are? And that's sort of this light bulb moment where I thought, well, you know, they're fleeting, they're fast, they're in isolated places, all the different species, they're surrounded by foliage. So this is sort of where the concept came from to photograph them the way I do. But I knew that if I was to do this, I had to work with tame birds, and I needed to work with birds because I had to kind of solve a lot of questions about how I was going to do this. So that's why budgerigars were sort of my first subject. It was, these are birds I'd known, I'd grown up with them. I felt like I understood them well, and they're just really chatty, social, beautiful, friendly little birds to hang out with. So they're really fun to kind of to work with.
Yeah, I guess there's something just so immediately accessible about a budgerigar.
Oh, you talk to anybody and you'd be amazed how many people have sort of a childhood connection to budgerigars as well.
Yeah. Your works of individual birds, the bird is the size, is blown up to be the size of a human, and often with a white background. Mm. Can you talk me through the process of creating one of these works of art?
Of course. So to start with, that's a really deliberate idea of mine, is that I print my birds at human size. So when I'm working with birds, I'm always thinking about firstly the portraiture that I'm trying to capture and the end result, which is that you would walk into a gallery room and you would see the faces of all these other species, but because they're printed at human size, you're now no longer a superior to them. You know, you play with scales. Scale shows you that these guys are an equal. They deserve to be on this planet just as much as we do. It gives them, you know, a presence, I suppose. And the process of working with them is very different depending on the birds that I work with. So most of my career has been working with wildlife rescue and release birds. So birds that are Australian birds that would come into care injured, they'd be rehabilitated and released. And because they were going through this process of being rehabilitated, they have a relationship with a wildlife carer who's looking after them. And I'm able to go in and either spend time with that bird to be able to bond with me, or they already have that kind of bond with their carer. A very common setup is actually just photographing them in a room, and it's no different to like a photographer's sort of portrait setup. You have like it's a very pale grey paper roll that I would use.
Yeah.
I always joke that, you know, I have a perch instead of a chair. You know, my catering is seed or fruit, you know, and water.
No makeup. Is there a danger with taking portraits of birds that there's a sense of anthropomorphizing them?
I love this topic. Yeah, I love talking about this. So this is my view on it. I've thought about this a lot, and I think that we are not giving ourselves enough credit, because there's two things that happen to me when I have an exhibition. One is that people will come into the room and they'll say to me just the funniest comments. Like, I did a whole show where I photographed every species of cockatoo found in Australia, and someone came in and said, I've named every single one after every single Prime Minister of Australia. It's like, that one's Bob Hawke. I can see, you know, I can see Paul Keating over there. I can see. And so, and it's joyous and it's fun. And I love it. I have no problem with it, because that same person is smart enough to understand ecology as well. Yeah. And to understand that these birds are not people. They're not going to, you know, put a wedding dress on and go down an aisle and get married. We get it. We're not that stupid. So, then you dive into the ecology of it all, and it's fascinating. It's the reason why we love David Attenborough. And if you listen to the way he talks, he will relate always his stories to something very human that we do. He actually does it himself. And so I think we don't need to be so serious.
Hey, so Lila, your new exhibition on in Sydney, it's called High Society, and it starts in Sydney and then it will tour to New York. It includes video. Now, is this the first time that you've worked in video?
It's the first time I've worked in video at this scale.
Okay.
I've done a little bit of video work. When I started photographing the flocks of birds in trees, it was through the process of doing that where I just went, this is incredible, and I need this to be in motion, because, you know, it was just magical to experience that. So I sort of cut my teeth trying a few little things. But what I've done with this video work, I cannot tell you the logistics. It was one of the hardest things I've ever done.
Oh, wow.
And I was a rookie, you know. I had to put together a team, because this particular camera that I worked with is called the Phantom Flex. It shoots in 4K. So it's the world's most advanced slow motion and high quality camera that exists on the planet. And I worked with this incredible camera operator, a guy called Aran Dolev. And the camera would shoot in slow motion, shoot at 1,000 frames per second.
Oh,
so when
wow.
you slow the movement down of birds, then again, it's at a pace in which our eyes can register. So all of a sudden, you start to see things that we just can't see normally. And to actually do this setup, again, this huge aviary, it was 2 days of set building just to prepare for this shoot. And to shoot in slow motion, you have to have as much light inside the studio as outside daylight, because you need a lot of light to shoot slow motion. So I had to work with a gaffer, and we had to pull in, I mean, it was like a giant film set, huge lights, but you couldn't have the lights, you couldn't have the light shining onto the birds because it would be too bright. So it's all about bouncing light. So a huge setup like that. And then the problem is that the heat comes off from the light. So you have to think of a way to keep the studio cool because you can't, you know, the birds can't be hot. Everything that I did, and this was years of planning, was about making sure that those little birds were having the time of their lives and they were comfortable. You know, it was really important that you do whatever you can to make those birds comfortable. And again, I worked with budgerigars because they're tame. So, you know, that was a big part of it. So it was really crazy. But the end result is something that I feel like has never been captured before and is the most exciting thing for me I've ever really done in terms of taking what I do to a different next level. It's still communicating, I hope, you know, all the things that I try to communicate with wildlife, but showing it now in a different way.
Lila, just tell me briefly about the Arctic Circle.
I'll talk an hour about that.
can you condense it?
Of course I can. It was incredible. I've often talked about how sometimes you have these moments in your life. They're kind of light bulb moments where things shift and change in you, and that trip to the Arctic was one of them. I was incredibly lucky. I was invited by an expedition leader, a guy called Hugh Lewis-Jones, to go on this expedition to the Arctic. And the way it works is it's people pay to go on it. So there's people that sort of do adventure tourism that want to go to these remote parts of the world. But on top of that, the guides that take you are sort of geologists and scientists and people that are top of their field. So I got to be a guest lecturer on this particular ship, and we went to the Arctic for 2 weeks, and I don't know how to say it in a way that doesn't make me sound slightly crazy, but the energy of the place, it has just a different feel to what you feel in the cities. It is the most extraordinary experience, the feeling, that sort of pristine wilderness where you are a tiny dot. You know, I play with scale with the birds, you know, I'll print them human size, but that was an experience where the environment was playing with me. You know, I was so insignificant amongst this landscape, and the beauty of the place is just obviously extraordinary, but the energy is what I felt. I just cannot explain it. It just permeated into my bones, and seeing the wildlife and seeing the bird life. You have these birds called fulmars. You know, they're sort of related to the albatross, a small bird. You know, not that exciting looking, a little grey bird, but they just follow the slipstream of the ship the whole time. Oh. And you get to experience that. And then I got to do, you know, we would get into these little zodiac boats and land in all these amazing fjords and islands and do these big walks and hikes. And I got to go to puffin colonies. And you know, these birds have kind of evolved to not have us as perceived to be predators. So they're really very tame around you. You can get incredibly close and not disturb them. They just go about doing what they do. So I got to have those experiences, and part of all of that is that for years I've been working on doing a seabird show. You know, I want to tell the story of seabirds. So a big part of that is being able to experience it, because then I feel like it emotionally connects with me so powerfully that I can put that into my work, and I hope that then resonates. So that was sort of part of what that trip was about.
Lila, thank you so much for coming onto the show and talking about your work with birds and your clear love of birds and your just extraordinary photographs. I mean, they really are quite, I think, thought-changing. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. It's so lovely to be able to talk about it. So I appreciate you having me here.
The Australian artist Lila Jeffries. Her new exhibition, High Society, opens at the Olsen Gallery next week, and that's before the exhibition heads off to New York. And if you're not in Sydney, don't worry, don't despair. You can also catch Lila's work in your house or wherever you go. The beautiful documentary Bird Nerd, The Art of Lila Jeffries, is available on ABC iView right now. You're listening to The Art Show on RN. My name's Ed Ayres.